Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 611 of the Drunk Dash Friends Podcast. I'm your host, as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
The Aurora Borealis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going on right at this moment in time, so that's pretty much what's going up.
Can you see
it? Of course. Well, I can't really see it right now.
Well, you're in a house, so I assume you can't see it right now. I just meant, like, in general.
In general, no. I mean, I've looked outside like about 5 minutes ago, and it's like, nah, can't see anything yet. Maybe some bit of a priority, maybe some little bits, but we did get a bunch of, like, shots or something like that. Well, people in this area where I'm living at got good shots of it, like in the mountains.
Yeah.
But cool. I didn't have a chance to really personally see that because it was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and I was almost, like, fast asleep anyway. But, every time I think of Aurora Borealis, you know, I always think of that episode of The Simpsons, you know, with, like, Seymour Skinner and stuff, and, Superintendent Chalmers and stuff. The whole thing with Chalmers or something like that, going to Skinner's house for dinner and stuff. Just walks in, he notices the kitchen's on fire, he's like, good lord, what is happening in there? And it's like, and that precedes Seymour Skinner to just try to hide the fact that he literally is just burning his whole entire kitchen on fire. He's trying to cook hamburgers, and it's like going terribly wrong. And it just goes openly to straight face and tells him, "The Aurora Borealis." It's like, and of course, the freaking superintendent, like Chalmers and stuff like that. It's like the Aurora Borealis at this time of the year, at this time of the day, in this part of the country, localized entirely within your kitchen. He's like. Yes. Oh. Well, can I see it? No.
Tell all the Simpsons, man.
Oh, man. Dear listeners, thank you for putting up with me on that one, man. I mean, that's probably what's one of the only chances I'm going to get like that, to that joke.
Yeah, I guess. How many solar flares we're going to get that cause us to be able to actually see the Aurora Borealis in our area? So I haven't been able to see it either, right? Unfortunately. So, but, I know people in the area have been able to. So,
but other than that, though, well, let's just say I made a purchase just yesterday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I know, right?
Was it an Atari VCS?
No. No. It's something that I'll actually use more than an Atari VCS. I actually bought an Analog Pocket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I want one so bad.
Oh, let me tell you something, Tyler. So, picture this. Friday morning, I wake up, I turn off my alarm, my clock, and I go and I look at my phone. I'm thinking, you know what, I'm just going to go onto the Analog site, you know, just because I look at their announcements and stuff. They had an announcement on May 10th, right? It's like, oh, the Analog Pocket's going to be back in stock around like 8 o'clock in the morning. And, no, it was just posted that day, you know, it's like, there's probably hardly anybody else. It's like, I've probably seen this yet. And I'm like, oh, well, it's like it's like about 6:30 or so in the morning. Well, I know what I'm going to do with my phone. I know what I'm going to do this morning. And, yeah, about 2 minutes after 8 o'clock, I actually bought an Analog Pocket along with a protective case and like the tempered glass stuff, you know, and I got to admit, I'm feeling quite happy because I've been trying to get this little handheld for a better part of a year now, but it's always been out of stock because of, because of scalpers and because of people like literally just beating everyone else to there. And at this point in time, I believe there is still more Analog Pockets in stock.
Huh.
Here's the thing. The craziest thing is the white one sold out quicker than, like, the standard one, right? So, I'm going to be checking the website here in just a moment. And so, basically, it's about $220 for just the Analog Pocket. And I'm on the website right now, and they still have the Analog Pocket Black for inside the shopping cart. Huh. Like, just add to cart. It's actually nice. The first time I've ever seen these little handhelds and stuff actually in stock more than a day.
I didn't realize the stock was short, because I remember like a while back looking into buying one and they had them in stock, but I was, yeah, it's a lot of money. So I was like, ah, I can't do that right now. But yeah, well, I want one. Just go ahead.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Tyler. And, you know, that is a valid thing. It's like, you're not going to buy something like that unless you really are intending to want to use it. I know for myself, because I have a huge slew of, like, handheld games, ranging from Game Boy to Game Boy Advance, I can pretty much, like, plug in any one of those carts, play them, do save states, do all this other stuff. And I'm just kind of ready just to tinker around with it, because I know sooner or later I'm probably going to want to stream with this darn thing and yeah. See how that works. Of course, I think I may actually need to buy the dock in order to do that. I'm not really tempted to do that.
I know the dock. Holy shit. Okay.
Dock is like $100, dude.
Ooh. Okay.
I know. Well, I know.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But it will be here next week. Nice. It's like 5 to 7 business days. Hopefully, if it does come in time before our next like recording and stuff, I will definitely give some like impressions on it. Because, well, it definitely is a device that I've been wanting for a while. You know, like a premium sort of like Game Boy, to where I'm not going to have to, say, go and, well, you know, pull out the whole Game Boy Advance SP if I really wanted to, you know, and do that and this. It's going to be a little bit more advanced than that. But, yeah, that's pretty much been my week, dude. How about you?
Oh, you know, it's clanging and banging as always. Nothing too exciting with me. You know, been a long week of work and all that. Nothing fun going on there. But I'm doing all right, you know. It was my birthday this past week, so.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Xbox ruined it. Don't worry. so, yeah. Oh, so, yeah, it was, I'm like, oh, it's, you know, it's birthday. You feel a little bit better on your birthday. And then it was Tuesday, and then Xbox destroyed my entire day. So I did go up and get my free Starbucks drink, though, which was very nice and exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was very nice. So yeah, but you know, doing all right. You know, not too much to complain about. Just playing a lot of indie games right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a Gables and our top for the show. It's been a shit week for the big developer. Been a shit year and a half for the big developers, but man, this week has been pretty awesome for some indie games, and I got a few more I'm gonna be playing. So yeah, so doing all right. But if you like all this, like the show, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out, we're on everything. We look up any podcast service you're on, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds, to find us. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all those fun places. So please check us out. There's a description down below for links with everything. Just click on those, please. Like I said, if you go on YouTube, actually subscribe, hit that thumbs up button. We passed 300 subscribers. We're gonna keep pushing to get to 1,000. So
yeah,
maybe. And Gables and I were just two guys been doing this for fun for 11 years. This month, Gables. Yeah, Memorial Day week gonna be our 11-year anniversary. So of doing this. So we're, you know, we have full-time jobs. We do this because we like doing it. We love video games. There's a lot of things we hate about video games right now. We'll get into that right now, Gables. Let's just get into it.
Okay.
It's been a busy week of gaming, but mostly bad news. So Xbox, in case you've been living under a rock lately, closed 4 studios: Arcane Austin, Tango, Alpha Dog Games. Roundhouse Studios was technically absorbed into ZeniMax Online, which is the Elder Scrolls Online studio. So, but I guess they were like already, like, if I understand correctly, they were already in the same studio, like the same offices as the ZeniMax Online. So that's basically what's going on. There's going to be a lot of layoffs. We don't really fully understand, like are all the people in those other 3 studios being laid off like entirely, or like are they being absorbed into other games? That's kind of one of the things they mentioned, was like focus more on high impact games is what Xbox was stating for the reason of the studio closures. Some other stuff here, Redfall, there was a $30 DLC pack that was part of it, the season pass that came with, if you can buy, you know, if you wanted like the ultimate edition of the game or whatever. I don't believe any of that actually had come out, but they did say players will be refunded for that. Sadly, Redfall had a big update planned in just a week or two that would offer a offline mode. So, I mean, Redfall is not a good game, but kind of nice. It's going to suck here in a few years when they turn the servers off for that thing. They also had a big Halloween update that was going to be like really like basically they've been doing a lot of big updates. That's some good updates I've heard from people. It's like the game still was not like was a ways away from where it needed to be. But from what I understand, though, like The update's been getting better, and making the game better. And they had another big Halloween update that was going to add a bunch more mechanics to the game, and also would include all the DLC for the all the heroes in the game, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hi-Fi Rush was just rated for the Switch, but it doesn't seem like that's happening now.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy. Yeah, you think they at least put that out. The good news is, as of right now, Limited Run Games was supposed to be doing a physical copy collector edition you could buy for the game. Limited Run Games, though, did say that as of right now, they still plan on doing that. For me personally, because like I was going to buy that thing regardless, I'm definitely going to be buying the Ultimate Collector Edition, whatever it is, because I want that thing, because Hi-Fi Rush is my favorite game of last year. So apparently, Tango was pitching a sequel to Hi-Fi Rush, and Arkane was pitching a game possibly in the Dishonored franchise. So kind of, there's a lot of information here. But so the studios were shut down, not because of Redfall, it's being a flop. It wasn't because Hi-Fi Rush didn't sell enough copies. It was they were shut down. Jason Schreier reported on this, that they were shut down because they were years away from making the next game, because they just put out a game.
What?
Yes. So they were pitching. So they're in the process of pitching their next games. They haven't gone full development, obviously, because they just put games out last spring. So they were in the process, like pre-production stage and all that. And they were going to need to hire up to make their next game. So instead of doing that, I was like, well, these games are so far away, we'll just close them now because they're so far away. Yeah, I know. So Arkane Lion Chief Dinga Bakaba, I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure. I'm sorry if I am. So he obviously won the leads. I believe he is the director of the Arkane Lion studio. They're ones making Blade right now. He had a series of tweets that really hit it. And he's like, allow me to be human for a moment. Calling them absolutely terrible. To any executive reading this, friendly reminder that video games are entertainment / cultural industry, and your business as a corporation is to take care of your entertainers and artists and help them create value for you. Don't throw us into gold fever gambits. Don't use us as straw men for miscalculation blind spots. Don't make our work environments Darwinist jungles. You say we make you proud when we make a good game. Make us proud when times are tough. We know you can. We've seen it before. For now, great teams are sunsetting before our eyes again, and it's a fucking gut stab. Leon is safe, but please be tactful and discerning about all this, and respect affected folks' voice and leave it room to be heard. It's their story to tell, their feelings to express. Came back later on Inside Baseball, but if I read Immersive Sim Curse from the community, especially from my fellow dev, I swear to God, please, let's talk about the real challenges instead of rehashing irrational anxieties of the past. Even more Inside Baseball, but with a very, very wide range. As a wise and solely miss man said, please stop. Yeah. So a lot of information there. Obviously, terrible situation. This guy coming from, obviously his studio was not affected by this. Arkane Austin was shut down. There's more to this that we'll get into. But overall thoughts, Gables, just on everything that happened here to begin with.
Yeah, when I first heard about this announcement that Microsoft went ahead and just shut down 4 studios in terms of the Xbox brand and stuff like that, I'm like, what the hell are they doing? I mean, that's just the number one thing that cycles throughout my mind. Tango Gameworks, Arkane Austin and stuff. Those are the two major ones out of the 4 that were closed, but losing a lot of great people inside of the studios that helped work upon some fantastic games inside of their respective companies' histories and stuff, especially most recently with Tango Gameworks with Hi-Fi Rush, that was in running up being like one of the best games of the year last year. And you're telling me that a game that's that successful cannot give a pass in order to try to create a sequel to it because it's too long to make? That doesn't sound like an Xbox decision. This is sounds like a Microsoft's decision in terms of, why can't I have my thing sooner rather than wait another 4 or 5 years? And that's not how you get developers and stuff to create your next big game in this regards. It sounds totally filled with greed bullshit in mind. It doesn't sound like it's a structured plan that's going forth. It just sounds like there's just a bunch of petty inconsistencies that seem to be out in the open here that we're not even aware of. I mean, we don't know how Microsoft runs entirely as a company, but we know for damn sure is they got the time, they got the money, and they sure as hell have enough resources to where they can support at least these people in terms of like the studio heads. And I think what's even more sad about this particular moment is like Shinji Mikami just left Tango Gameworks Studio and left the reins of like what he helped create and stuff to the young developers that were helping build that company, you know, inside of his stead. Hi-Fi Rush was pretty much one of his, like, was one of his grace, like, passing of the torch sort of things to that younger, like, crew inside that studio. And now it just seems so bittersweet because it's like, not only did they not get the chance to really venture out on their own, not because of, like, ill decisions of some by them, but because of a corporate mindset, this corporate hive mind that we have that's just decided to say, hey, I don't want to wait 5 years for a profit that I could have in like two. And that is the biggest shame that is within this decision in terms of what we have learned this past week. I mean, obviously, dude, it's like everything going on this week, like with, say, Microsoft, with Sony and their fumbles too, it's like it's more so, it feels like just the general console makers, the big three in general, you know, it's like there's just some forms of missteps. And I think with Microsoft, this is even more, much more of a big stab to the gut because they were rebuilding a lot of what goodwill they were trying to get back from people as opposed to, say, from last year around this time where the big talk was how big of a failure Redfall was at launch. And then that came off the heels of, like, you know, how successful Hi-Fi Rush was. I mean, it's just a couple more weeks until we get Hellblade 2 Senua's Sacrifice. I mean, for God's sake, if that game does well and yet that development studio gets shut down or something like that, I mean, what the hell are you guys even doing? What is the future of, say, this Xbox brand if you can't even keep your main core studios together in order to just put out successful games, you know, get enough money doing all this stuff? But when I think back, though, Hi-Fi Rush in general was like a stealth drop. It was like pretty much like something unexpected. It was pretty much released the day it was announced with minimal marketing fare and everything else. Yeah. But at the same time, despite all that, it sold extremely well and was very successful for what it was. So yeah, it makes even less sense that a game like of that caliber, like pretty much gets sent out, you know, to the wolves and stuff, just first and foremost, you know, because that's an unproven franchise. It's something new. It's something risk-taking. But yet at the same time, Tango Gameworks made such a fantastic game to where they felt like they were confident enough to say, hey, this is the next big series that we can actually say, yeah, if you want an Xbox, play Hi-Fi Rush. But it feels like now, alongside of decisions to put more Xbox properties onto everything else because of this big old master plan that they got for digital stuff, it just seems like a lot of wasted time, a wasted efforts, and it really makes, say, not just fans of gaming in general, but like even longtime Xbox fans just thinking, like, why the hell am I investing time into this if a lot of the stuff that I have bought an Xbox for or that I invest inside of this ecosystem, and yet some of the best game makers and stuff that were helping create these games I was looking forward to all of a sudden are just, you know, flat out just disappearing because of no fault of their own.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's heartbreaking. You know, like in the tweets I was reading here about, it's a fucking gut stab. That's how I felt. Like, I saw some, Cam in our Discord. I just saw, like, he posted the IGN thing, and I'm like overnight, that's when Nintendo did the whole, like, announced, like, the next Switch console. I'm like, oh, he's probably talking about that. I'll look at it later. And finally, hours later, I went and looked, and I just saw that, and, like, it's just, yeah, I was just, like, a kick right in the gut of just, like, because I don't know how many people are out there besides me, like, other than me, like, pound the table more for Tango in the last decade. You know, with Evil Within 1 and 2 are being some of my favorite games of the last, you know, like I talked about for a long time there. Like, Evil, like, Survival Horror was a dead, like, we didn't have any of those, or very few of them, for a very long time. Like, we had, like, Resident Evil, then Resident Evil went to shit. We had Dead Space, then Dead Space 3 happened. And for a long time, that frame, that, like, that style of game was just gone. And I'm like, finally, it's back. Evil Within brought it back. And the Evil Within 2 was like, Evil Within was a really good game. Evil Within 2 is like one of the best games in survival horror, I think. And I was so excited for a third one. Ghost Warrior Tokyo, I thought was a good game. It did not blow my socks off, but I thought it was good. But Hi-Fi Rush, man, I was kind of bummed we didn't get Evil Within 3, and then I played Hi-Fi Rush, and I mean, it was my game of the year last year. I fucking love that game. I adore that game. Like, I still listen to the fucking soundtrack to this day. I'm still listening to that soundtrack almost daily. I listen to that fucking sound. That's how much I love that game. And it was just heartbreaking, like, to see that they're gone. And, like, yeah, people are like, oh, hopefully they can get together and, like, make another game. But it's like, it's not the same. That team is gone.
No.
We see these we see indie studios constantly closing down because they can't find funding. So, like, we're seeing these massive teams that, like, you talk about, like, Microsoft is the richest company in the history of mankind.
Yep.
Worked over $3 trillion. Last year, they made over $22 billion in profit. Billions with a B. Profit. Which was way over what they expected in the first place. So they're over expectation for profits. Like, they could not make anything they can just not do anything that would make them a dime for decades and just pay all their employees and would be fine. They don't have to do anything and they would be fine. And to do this, it just sucks. And yeah, for the reasons of, like, well, you guys, it's going to be a long time for you to make another game. That's how fucking video games work. That's how they've always worked. Even, like, we talk about, now, like, games are more expensive and take longer than ever. Even before, it would still take a couple of years, 3 years of making a fucking video game. Maybe this thing wasn't extremely profitable, but they bought all these studios, they bought all these teams, they bought all these people for a service that directly goes against the idea of them selling games for profit. The people play it, like, you bought these games. Hi-Fi Rush exists because of Game Pass.
Yep.
Pentiment, like, that was the things that, like, Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and Matt Booty and them were saying, like, you know, these games, like, you know, it's so, you know, not so many words, basically, these games are perfect for Game Pass. Like, these games probably would not exist. Grounded would not exist if it wasn't for Game Pass. And it's like, if games like Hi-Fi Rush don't work for your system of Game Pass, then what the fuck are we doing here? People have been shitting a lot on Game Pass. And yeah, you can, I think Game Pass is a good deal. I know it's the best deal in gaming. I believe that. It is a really great deal. I save a ton of money every month I subscribe to Game Pass. I think it's a great deal. It's a great deal for me. But I wonder if, like, it's not working for Xbox. And we see this with streaming all the time, with Netflix all the time. Like, they put out a million fucking shows on Netflix and movies all the time. That are just things to fill you in between the next big thing that comes out, the next big TV show, the next big movie that comes out. These are things that kind of keep you interested and keep you from not getting rid of the service until the next big thing happens. And that works great as long as you have the next big thing coming. But if you just have a lot of little things that come out that aren't moving the needle for anybody, people will leave. And the problem is, I think, is the fact that, like, what are the big games that we've expected from Xbox to come out to keep us, like, to really get people to jump in the Game Pass? Starfield, Halo Infinite. Like, I definitely, we talk about very positively about Xbox, how excited we were for that showcase next month. Just last week on the podcast, we talked about that. And I defended Starfield. I'm not going to, like, turn on Starfield now. Like, I think the game gets more shit than it deserves. I think it's a really good game. It's just, it needed to be game of the generation, and it was, like, a very good game in the year 2023. Unfortunately, it was just one of the craziest years in gaming of all time. In Halo Infinite, we both love Halo Infinite, but that game had a lot of problems. They turned around recently, but unfortunately, you know, at that point in time, it just did not live up to the snuff of what we were expecting from Halo.
Absolutely.
So when those big games don't come, or when they do come, they're not good enough. They're disappointing. Like games like Hi-Fi Rush, games like Pentiment, like, yeah, that might keep people around for a little bit, or it might add a few, but it's not, you know, you're not going to get the numbers like you were expecting. And, like, the fact that, like, you just put it out just a month ago on PS5, it's still planning to put it on Switch next month. This wasn't like they didn't just wake up Tuesday morning and decide to close this. This has been probably in works for a long time now. So probably when they were like announced they're putting this on PS5 and Switch, they probably already planned on getting rid of these studios by at that point. It's baffling. The system it's broken, and I don't know what they can do to fix it. And this is an issue, you know, across all of gaming. We've seen layoffs after layoffs after layoffs, and it's like in a sick kind of way, you almost kind of get numb to the idea of like of it. And you just see it, and you just kind of like shake your head, and you kind of just move on. It's just like, man, it's like every week, every day, it's just something else. It's like a lot of smaller studios. Then you can see the big ones are like, oh, it's like, at least it's only like 50 people. And it's not like you, whatever. They laid off 1900 people in January. Microsoft did. They laid off a bunch of other people last year on the Xbox gaming studio. They laid over 10,000 people off. Microsoft had one of the biggest layoffs in the history of America last year. Over 10,000 people were laid off. And then they laid off another 2,000 more just in the gaming division in January. And they laid off more here. And apparently there's more coming in July for Xbox. More layoffs planned in July.
Ridiculous.
Like, all because of, like the point of this, like, we got so excited about them buying Bethesda, them buying Activision, in the sense of, like, we were fantasy booking over here. Like, dude, what if they can, what they finally, Vicarious Visions makes that Tony Hawk 3 and 4. What if we get Toys for Bob? What if they make a fucking Banjo-Kazooie game? They're gone. Vicarious Vision is now Blizzard Albany. Toys for Bob is now an independent studio. Like, they left. They're just out. Fucking Tango's gone. Someone posted a picture of, like, whenever, like, they bought all the studios, and they posted, like, Xbox posted the picture of, like, all the studios they bought with, like, their, like, kind of like their mascot, like, game up.
Yep.
And someone crossed off all of the games, all the studios. And it's just, like, it went from, like, 9 to, like, 4. Like, it's just gone. It's just, like, we talk about forever of, like, Activision fucked itself. And I'm not even talking about all the shit that happened with the sexual aspect stuff. I'm just talking about as a business itself. Like, that's, the other stuff is a whole nother can of worms. But just to get into the part of the studio of Activision itself, we talked for years about how Call of Duty became so big that it ate everything else up around it, because they had to keep active. They had to keep Call of Duty coming. They could not miss a year. They couldn't miss anything. It had to be out every fucking holiday. They were like, what if, oh, like, cool, Xbox will buy them. They can afford to take a year off and, like, figure things out. Nope. We're fucking shutting studios down, and we're merging people into making fucking, we need Fallout games. We need fucking Elder Scrolls faster. We need to keep Call of Duty going. We need to keep fucking Diablo going. It's like they bought Activision and became Activision.
That's actually a good point right at that moment in time, because it's fairly accurate, because this is exactly the type of strategy that Activision made with trying to pump out some of its most popular franchises by sacrificing other studio leads and other studio like main games they could have been working on and stuff, and instead just kind of threw them into the cog of the machine and have them produce only like maybe one or two franchises. And yeah, you're on the ball, man. I was like, there's Call of Duty, there's Diablo, there's Starfield, there's freaking Fallout, there's, you know, there's just all these various popular franchises that gamers, that they know that if they get more people working upon those core games, that's the most likely thing of success that they're going to go with. And unfortunately, it's going to be at the cost of, like, certain creativity endeavors.
Well, it's just, if you're a studio making, if you're like In Exile or Double Fine, any of those studios that have games probably coming in the next 12 to 18 months, like, how nervous are you right now? Like, what are you going to, like, if you're a salaried employee, like, you don't get paid hourly, you just get the same amount whether you work 40 hours or 60 hours a week. Like, I'm not saying, like, sandbag the game and purpose to make it bad, but, like, if like, I'm concerned that my studio, I'm gonna be out of a job and my studio's gonna get closed as soon as I put that game out. Like, why am I working 60 hours a week for you anymore? I'm working 40, you know? Because the sooner this game comes out, the sooner I'm out of a job. So I'm not saying, like, make the game bad on purpose, but I'm like, why am I going to fucking work a bunch of overtime for free for this game to come out faster so I can get laid
exactly.
off.
Exactly. The motivation is dead at this point.
Yeah, and like, yeah, like I have, as a, just as a, most importantly, as an employee, why I would not be able to trust a single word they say to me, because I don't think this is a Phil or a Sarah or a Matt thing. As far as like they made the decision, this is definitely a Microsoft thing. Ryan McCaffrey had a really good report from IGN where he talked to some people that like long-term employees of on the Xbox side that were higher ups, and so that basically them buying Activision, like they were like this small, like we talk about like Xbox is a small division in the hierarchy of Microsoft.
Yes.
Well, they just spent $70 billion buying Activision, had all this like. All these news reporters, all this information, all these news coverage on them. They were right. like the fucking thing for like, I don't know, almost a year. Like that was going on with reporting everything with them. They had to go to fucking court and everything over buying this thing.
Yes.
Now, like they said, like basically this has like now Microsoft is like, wait, what the fuck's going on over there? Like, what are we, what's going on over there? And they see that they probably spent between buying Bethesda, Activision, all these other studios, probably $80 to $100 billion on this shit. It's like, why aren't we doing good enough over here? And now it's like, basically, it's no longer Xbox. Like you mentioned it, it's no longer Xbox gaming. It's now Microsoft gaming.
Yes.
Like this went from like this little tiny thing to Microsoft to like, well, now we want to make a profit off this thing. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? And so Matt Booty, head of Xbox Game Studios. They had a town hall the day after all this happened, and he said that we need smaller games that give us prestige and rewards. These changes are grounded in prioritizing high-impact titles and further investing in Bethesda's portfolio of blockbuster games. So smaller games that give us prestige and rewards. There's only one game that in all of Xbox that fits that fucking criteria, and they just shut them down and laid them all off.
Absolutely.
And then they also, in that same sentence, mentioned that prioritizing high-impact titles. So, I like, okay, cool. You want to put big titles. I get that. Like, we see Square Enix. Like, they just, they reported they had $140 million in losses of just canceled games. We've been talking about for years. They put out, like, 30, 40 games a year. And 95% of them, like, you don't even know they're out. Or they put them out. We hear about them once, and they come out. And we don't hear about it again. Like they just put out all these fucking and they're all, most of them are just shit games or at best like sevens. But then they have the big ones. So it's like, cool. All right. They're not laying people off. They're shutting down those, canceling those games. And they're putting people on their bigger games. So those bigger games hit. They're pretty popular. Like that makes sense. Xbox needs games. And they, like we've been saying for like, oh, Gables, as long as this podcast has been going, like I said, 11 years, this fucking month. One of the first podcasts we did, we talked about the fucking Xbox One announcement. That was one of the first podcasts we ever did.
Yep.
Since then, we're still waiting on the fucking games. Like, we get some every now and again. It's been 11 years of us, and I've been saying, oh, man, when it hits, they bought all these studios, dude. Like, game, it's going to be great. One game a quarter. I've been saying one game a quarter. Bitch, do we have enough studios to make a game a quarter now? Like, are they going to have four studios when this is over? Are they going to be Call of Duty and like, fucking...
Fallout, like, freaking whatever, you know, at this point.
And then they talk about how, like, the leadership, they're, like, trying to cover all these different studios that kind of spread them too thin. Then why'd you buy all the studios?
What are the
studios for? You bought all these studios, and now you're spread too thin? You get paid millions of dollars a year. Get the fuck over it. I don't want to hear about it. All right? So we lay off thousands of people. Even more thousands of people are affected. The family members, the kids, the wives, the husbands, etc. The dogs, the cats, everybody's affected by this because you don't have enough people we have a bunch of people making seven figures a year that are a little too stressed out right now, but we're going to lay off all these people that now are like, I don't have to pay mortgage next month. Those people are gone, but the people that make seven figures a year, keep them around. They're fine. But yet, it's been a decade now of leadership at this studio, and what do we have to show for it? Nothing.
That's the thing, man. This is the most frustrating thing about it. As gamers, we wanted to see more come out of, say, Xbox in terms of the games that were produced. We've been waiting for over 10 years at this point for them to get their shit back together. At this point, if this is not a sign that they do not know what the hell they're doing, then I don't know what isn't the case. I mean, they have everything else inside of their court. They acquire Activision Blizzard. They won a court case in terms of securing the like the whole legitimacy of purchasing that. One of the largest third-party companies with some of the most rich IPs that can be used and stuff to in order to resell, you know, to sell to consumers. And yet they do not know how to organize a lot of their inner studios. They do not know how to consistently hit like games per like quarter and stuff. And you know what? Part of the thing about being in the games industry is sometimes when you have to create a good game, it takes quite a few years just to get that game right. And that's partially why games like Hi-Fi Rush was successful, because it did take a while for them to go forth and create this game and then to put it out and then for it to be a success like it was. And that it still is at this point. I mean, that's great. New IP, definitely maybe a smaller development cycle as compared to some of the larger scale games. But at the same bit, you know, it's like, you can't have it both ways here. You want to have these short, like, games or something like that. Not that just necessarily short, but these smaller project games be as big of a hit as some of your larger franchise games or something. Or even, like, some of the ones that you weren't expecting. Like, for example, it's like, you want them to sell, like, say, as, like, I don't know, the next Fallout game or something like that. Or the next Elder Scrolls game. You want them to try to sell or match the price of, you know, a smaller project matching the size of, like, that franchise and this things. That's unrealistic. But at this same point, though, what is very much telling to me is, like, why should gamers really give Microsoft here a open chance with a lot of this stuff? Yeah. They've already been leading us astray, or a bunch of us gamers astray, for over 10 years. There have been some good games that came out. They have done, it seems like to me, is like they've had done their best in terms of acquiring as much type of like properties and stuff in order to make it seem like they were going to go forth and do. But at the end of the day, it just seems like Microsoft has had a hand in systematically probably leading the death of its own gaming division in terms of what we know it into something that's more streamlined to where it was like Activision Blizzard, kind of like what you were touching upon. A few franchises, lots of people focus upon that, putting that out. Maybe not every year, but sure as hell, they may try to do something like that, because that's just kind of like the corporate mindset is in general, to where if you don't make the same or over the amount that you did the previous year, it's not considered a loss, and they're looking at, okay, well, how can we get rid of a couple different people in order to try to do better in this division or at this time frame or in this thing? So it's like, can you tell I've been inside these type of like situations before in terms of other job fields? But still, I'm like just saying, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, like... Yeah. Like I said, I've been at multiple jobs where, yeah, you just get people are getting laid off, even though like I work for like publicly traded companies. You hear about layoffs all over the place. You just see people that were your friends with and are just gone. And like when you survive, you've like you're happy, but you're also like you feel guilty for surviving. Like why me?
That guilt is this real. Person? Yes.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, great. Like, am I gonna be next? So it's like, it's a mental thing. Are you okay? I want to work and prove to them how hard a worker I am and how I deserve to stay here. But it's also in the back of your mind, it's like, why am I working hard for this place that will like at any point in time could just lay me off? It doesn't really matter what I'm doing here. And it doesn't. You're just a number. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, I've been saying this for a long time. It's just like, cool, they made $22 billion in profit last year. Well, not this year. They're gonna want 23. And I've said for a long time, it's, you know, you can't, these developers, it's with all these layoffs and everything going on in video games, it's going all over the country right now.
Yes.
It's baffling to me that like the, like inflation, everything is hitting the whole world right now. But like in Japan, like Nintendo and Square Enix, Capcom, the government in Japan is telling companies like major Japanese companies to increase the pay so people will spend more money and boost the economy. But here, it's the opposite. We're laying, like, these companies are making record profits, record revenue, but then we're still laying off people because they want to make the stock go up more. Because corporate people want to make the C-suite people want to get their bonuses so they can get more money, even though they already make tens of millions of dollars a year. We see David Zaslav over at fucking Warner Brothers Discovery. just got a $40 million bonus because he triggered one little thing in the stock that if he hit it, even though the company is in bigger debt than what it was when he took over.
Yep.
He triggered one thing that gave him a $40 million bonus because he made sure that everything else, no matter what, hit. So he got that one bonus. That's all it is. All these companies right now, all they think about is 3 months at a time. It's like in to use a sports analogy here. Like if you're a GM or a head coach of like NFL or NBA or whatever, and you're on the hot seat, and if you don't turn around this year, you might get fired. So then you start trading away draft picks that are a year or two away to get a little boost now to keep your job. But even though you're fucking yourself a year or two, if you survive, well, like the number one goal is keep my job, keep making money. That's the number one goal. That's the number one goal for these C-suite people. Because more than likely, they're not going to be here in 3 years. So when there's no fucking games in 2026, 2027, 2028, they'll most likely all be gone with their fucking hundreds of millions of dollars they got in bonuses for what they did right now. So fuck it. Why do they care? They're going to be gone. And if we're still in this podcast, Gables, when the PS6 and the next Xbox and whatever comes out, and we're sitting here like talking, we're trying to put together a top 10 list, but there's only 8 games that came out in the year. This will be why. And then fucking on top of that, like they're trying to decide if they should put Call of Duty on Game Pass. Motherfucker, it's been 3 years. You should have known this already. That should have been a plan before you even bought them. What the fuck is happening?
That's just mind-boggling that they had to internally debate about that. You know, I mean, that is the biggest leverage you could have in terms of putting it on the Game Pass service day one.
And get people in your ecosystem.
Inside your ecosystem, not just that. That's how you entice people to get your service if they want to play the next Call of Duty, like online or something like that. We know it's proven to sell year after year because people just buy the same shit every single year and play it to death. Yeah. So it's like, God, that's such a no-brainer. But yet, they see it that way.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's a fair question because... I get the discussion. This discussion should have decided a long time ago because, like, I get it. Like, if you're, I imagine the hardcore Call of Duty people are like, well, I'll just pay $70 and buy the game rather than pay $180 to $240 a year to subscribe to a service. Obviously, you want people to subscribe to the service. They find the other games in there, like, oh, cool. Like, Hi-Fi Rush, that game looks awesome. They play that game. That game's great. When's the sequel coming out? Oh, no, they shut the studio down. Never going to happen. But, I get the idea of, like, you know, putting on Game Pass and, like, but also I get the idea of what, you know, like I said, that game generates billions of dollars in revenue every year for them. And if they give up the $70 to then hopefully get people to stick around for 4 or 5 months instead, or for a full year, keep around or buy an Xbox. It's a balance, tough balance. Like, it's a long-term play that could obviously fail for them. And we've seen time and time again that these long-term plays typically fail for them.
Yes. I think
Ryan McCaffrey, to quote him again, he said this several times about Xbox. He's one of the, I think he's, I can't remember his title, but basically he's the lead Xbox person for IGN. Been there for a long time. He said this multiple times about them. He said this years ago. It was like, every time they get a little momentum, and they start to turn things around. Every single time, they cannot help themselves. They put a rake down on the ground, and they fucking step on it. And that's what they do. This is it's usually the dumbest shit that they do that causes this to happen. We're going to move on here, but the last thing I want to say, Major Nelson, who obviously was like the voice of Xbox for a long time. I believe he left. He's left, but it was about a year ago he left. He put a tweet out about this that summed it up perfectly. Trust is built in drips and lost in buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no better way to put it. Major Nelson, beautifully said. Beautifully said. But let's try to get some good news, Gables. We had some good news come out. Nintendo, there'll be a Nintendo Direct in June. We got that confirmed. We got some financial reports. We got some updates. We've talked about the Switch shit forever. Switch 2, whatever. It's kind of weird, kind of exciting, though. Like, to finally just have him say it. And I've said this a long time ago. The first time we hear about Switch 2 will be at a financial report. Because the first time we ever hear about these things directly from Nintendo is always at financial reports. Yep. So... they did say that it will be revealed before April of 2025. They will not talk about before July 1st. So we will not hear about it this current quarter, financial quarter. that Nintendo Direct that we're having in June, the Switch 2 will not be there. It will focus on the second half of 2024. We'll cover everything here. So the Switch now is at 141.32 million units sold. They are forecasting to sell about 13.5 Switches this fiscal year, which is still pretty, which is a pretty high number. It's less than what I think last year, the last fiscal year, they did about 15.5. But a big boost they got was because of the Zelda, the Zelda Switch they put out for Tears of the Kingdom. That was a gigantic boost for them. That's where they hit that. So I'm curious what like they're expecting. You know, year eight, year nine, where I can't remember what year we're on for Switch. What is they expecting to sell in our 13.5? I'm wondering, like, some people are like wondering, is it a price decrease? Which I don't know if that's gonna happen if they're still selling like this. I doubt it. Or there's a big game coming, or some big collector edition, or something that's happening. If they did sell the 13.5 million, that would pass the Nintendo DS. The DS is currently at 154 million, but they'd still be behind the PS2 at about 160 million. So some sales info here. So Princess Peach Showtime sold 1.22 million in just about 3 weeks on, because this all goes up to April 1st. So only about 2 weeks. No, that's not right. It's like, yeah, about 2 weeks. I can't remember. For that fiscal year, Mario versus Donkey Kong sold 1.1 million copies. And the Super Mario Wonder is now at 13.44 million units sold. We've got some updates. Here we go. So we have the top 10 selling games on the Switch, as of April 1st of this year. Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe 17.45, Tears of the Kingdom at 20.61. Tears of the Kingdom, like, the sales have drastically slowed down. It sounds like basically pretty much everybody that wanted that game bought it at launch, and it's like it's still selling, but it's one of those things where it's selling extremely well. But I always talk about like, you can't really compare Nintendo to everybody else. They're just on steroids right now. They're like fucking Barry Bonds in the late 90s, early 2000s, just fucking hitting home runs constantly right now. But yeah, so they sold like 16 million in the first like month or so on the market, and sold about 4 million give or take since then in the last 9 months. But that's obviously still really good. But it's just kind of crazy. Like, typically, like, you see like the long tail. It's not as high as I think a lot of people were expecting. Moving on here though, Super Mario Party is at 20.6, Scarlet and Violet is at 24.9, Sword and Shield is at 26.2. Super Mario Odyssey at 27.9, Breath of the Wild at 31.9, Smash Brothers Ultimate 34, Animal Crossing New Horizons 45.3, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at 62. We'll just round 62. So yeah, that's currently where we're at. Another fun fact for you, Cables: Mario Kart 7 on 3DS sold 10,000 copies last quarter.
What?
Yeah.
Mario Kart 7.
Yeah, on 3DS, sold about 10,000 copies last quarter.
Okay, and this was like in what region? Was this in the U.S.?
This is just in general. Yeah, worldwide.
Jeez, there's still places where they're just selling new, unopened 3DS games, and not just that though, but yeah, because the online portion of these games are now defunct and stuff, they can't even play online and stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, overall though, Gables, like, all right, so they revealed that we're gonna, like, the Switch 2, whatever you want to call it, is the next thing. Someone did ask a question, what should we expect from this, and they did say the next Switch console. So take that for what you will. I don't know. I mean, what's the direct in June? What are we expecting?
Okay, well, let's just first and foremost, before going into that, I'm just saying that, one, from this financial thing, it's very rare where we actually hear Nintendo say, like, point blank, hey, we're going to have a direct next month, and this is going to be this and that. Second thing is, we kind of do expect them to announce like a system in terms of like their financial stuff at this point, but not only just them confirming it and all this other rigmarole stuff, like right around that same time, there were people just thinking they were just going to make mention, yeah, we're still on par to making our next system, and that just be it. But giving a timeline of when, and then just saying point blank, just right in the front, you know, that the next direct is not going to even be focused upon the next system, which, you know what? That's incredibly smart, even on Nintendo's end right there, because they could have done what they've done in years past to where something's going up and then don't give people the heads up like, hey, yeah, this is only going to be focused upon this, 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 and that. You know, it's not going to be focused on anything else. But with that being said, though, what I'm expecting over this June Direct, it has to have something substantial if they really think they're going to be moving another 13 million units in terms of Switches in general. I mean, what thought comes to mind first is remasters. Remasters and then like established games that they've been sitting on, though, for quite a while. Like,
I mean, I don't think that's going to move consoles. That's just going to keep people like us to own Switches. This is going to keep us buying games in their ecosystem. Like,
well, yeah, that's the case, though, man. That's like, I understand that. I understand, like, say, for this being like, what, the ninth year or something like that of the Switch?
Yeah, eighth or ninth. I can't remember anymore.
The eighth and the ninth year of the Switch being in circulation. I mean, there has to be some form of a game that they have in mind that's going to be selling something. Like, it can't be like Metroid Prime 4. I mean, that's not that. It's not that big to really sell that many things unless they got like another Zelda or like I got another Mario game or something like that. Yeah. Besides, well, the two they already got coming out this year with Thousand Year Door remastered and then like Luigi's Mansion 2 kind of like remastered sort of like that. But it has to be like a remake of a classic game too, you know? I mean, something substantial. I mean, could be something Zelda related. I mean, that's enough to get some people going through and doing that, but
yeah. But I mean, like, even like, you know, like Skyward Sword, like it sold well. I mean, obviously really well for like anybody else, but like for Switch, it didn't blow anybody's skirts up, you know? Like it sold I think it sold like 4 or 5 million copies, which is something, but yeah, I'd like, if they're gonna have something like, unless they have like I said, like they had that Tears of the Kingdom Switch that sold crazy, but that just sold to more people that already own Switches. That just made people buy their third, fourth. Like,
right.
Like, I think you bought it. Justin bought, I think Justin owns like 5 or 6 Switch. My best friend, Justin. He has like 6 Switches at this fucking point. Yeah, I know. Gabe's like, you got like 3 or 4 at this point. I can't keep track.
Well, I don't have like 4, though. I mean, I got my regular model Switch. I still have in the box. I got a Switch Lite that I have in storage here. But I'm using my OLED one because that one literally is one of the best things to, not only but, just to play games on, but it's just, I know, I got just 3 Switches, but
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, that's what I'm saying, like, that's Tears of the Kingdom one, though, that's what you bought, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, though, like, yeah, like, they're selling more Switches, but they're not selling to more people, it's just more people buying the same console, so
yes.
Like, that's the thing I'm trying to, like, maybe they make the Switch Lite cheaper, like, maybe it's, like, $100 or something. I don't think they'll do that. $100 maybe is a little too crazy, but, like, that's the only thing I can think of is, like, because if you have something big that will sell Switches, why wouldn't you just wait for the next console to sell the new Switch? That's right. I mean, like, that's kind of what we're seeing so far this year. Like, they're having a game every month basically on their Switch, but it's like, I don't know, like nothing. Like, I haven't bought any of them. I know, like, they sold about 1 million units, which, I mean, I think if you're like any other publisher, you put that game out and sold over 1 million copies, you'd be really excited for it. Probably then we're like, all right, cool, that's fine. But like, because you just look at all the games they have put out, they're just selling fucking like Luigi Mansion 3 has sold like 13 million copies or something crazy like that at this point.
Let's just look at what they got going currently. I mean, they got Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remake, that's the end of this month, and then Luigi's Mansion 2, like the remake of the DS game, it's going to be in June. Other than that, though, we really don't know too much in terms of what they're going to be doing from like July on to the rest of the year in terms of game releases. And the only things that we can personally think of off the top of our heads is a bunch of remakes and a bunch of like ports or something like that that they've been sitting on for a while, you know, whether or not if it's Zelda or Metroid or like, you know, or Mario or whatsoever, or even like things like Fire Emblem, the Genealogy Wars stuff, or
like Wind Waker, Twilight Princess,
and all this
Metro Prime 2 and 3.
I mean, even put in the regards to like some bits of rumors too, like say with Oracle of Seasons of 8 or Ages or a freaking a remake of like a freaking like Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time or some shit like that. You know, it could be almost literally anything. Yeah. I mean, hell, it could be even something like obtuse or something like that, like a Kid Icarus Uprising and stuff.
That's a good point. Yeah, but I mean, like those aren't like I said though, like who's going out buying a Switch that doesn't already own? Like there's 141 million Switches at this point. Who the hell? I mean,
right.
Who knows how many of those are people that actually already own? Like, how many of those are multiple units from the same person? But still, like, yeah, like if you have something that's even a little bit of a system seller, why put it out now? Like, I think Metroid 4 is possibly the biggest game you could put out on the Switch at this point.
And
we talk about this over and over again. Like, Metroid is big to us,
right?
But it's not big to most people. Like, Metroid, what's the fucking the one that came out a couple years ago? Dread.
Dread.
Like,
yes,
that's like the best selling Metroid game ever. It didn't even crack 4 million. So, that's not a huge, like, that's on the Switch. Like let's talk about Switch is Barry Bonds. It's just like the numbers it's putting out are ridiculous for systems for copies sold of games.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I am excited. Yeah, like, I'm excited to see this June direct. I'm happy that, like, they just put it out there. I imagine the reason they just told us, like, we're not talking about it this quarter is because they just probably want people to shut the fuck up. And, like, we're going to announce this June direct, and we just don't, like, because they don't want it, like, yeah, typically what they announce on a Tuesday, it's on Thursday. Like, hey, on Tuesday, they announce it. It's going to be on Thursday. That's usually what it is. And they're probably just, like,
announcement for announcement.
Yeah, we're just going to announce, hey, it's happening in June. It won't be there. And we know, I talk about this all the time. Nintendo lies constantly. But this one, I believe them on. I believe them on this one because they said it in a financial report. Typically, when people say something in a financial report, they're telling the truth. Like, or like closest, but you got to be mostly truthful in these situations because you can get in a lot of trouble if you're not. So I do believe it in that extent. But I'm not, I don't know. It's just, I'm hoping it's just during SGF time and they've been doing it like the end of June lately. I don't like it. I'm kind of happy that they just, at least like for the next couple months, we don't have to, like, there's no, like, no crazy shit going on right now. Like, oh, what, they announced it here? Oh, there's rumors going on. Like, is it worth, like, the next, like, 6-7 weeks, Gables, it's just going to be, like, smooth sailing on Nintendo stuff. Like, there's a lot of leaks and rumors out there right now. A lot of, like the specs, apparently, for the Switch 2 are out there right now. So, coming from a lot of the typical people, but, I mean, if you want them out, they're out there, if you care about that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. Like,
dude,
I don't know.
Personally, Tyler, I'm at the point where it's like Nintendo could have just announced anything like towards like the rest of the year and stuff, and it's like, yeah, there's gonna be some like decent stuff that may interest you, but that's fine and stuff. But it's pretty much just from now up until the time they announce the next system, it's just kind of like a tilt. I'm full tilt right now, all the way from now all the way to when they announce the Switch 2, because it doesn't matter what they're gonna announce for the Switch system and stuff. Unless it's something really dire, I am just waiting to see what the next system is going to be.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for them to put it up for pre-order so I can pre-order it and buy it. That's basically where I'm at. But I felt that way with the Xbox coming off the Xbox 360 for Xbox One, where I'm like, I watched the Xbox One press conference. I'm like, cool, just tell me what's going up for pre-order and I'll buy it. And then that happened. I'm like, oh, never mind. So, I mean, obviously that can happen, but I don't think it will. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I'm kind of waiting to see what they go on and reveal stuff, because it's like the thing about this next version of the Switch is like, what's going to make this different than all the other like handheld systems like the ROG Ally or like the Steam Deck or like whichever, you know? And that's part of the thing that I'm waiting and seeing, because if it's just going to be kind of the same thing like it is currently and stuff, only like maybe higher specs or whatsoever, it's like, who knows? Maybe you just get a Steam Deck instead, or you get this instead, you know? But I know Nintendo's Nintendo, and partially why people invest inside Nintendo systems is for the fact that the first party is so strong in terms of what they want to go forth and give, you know, put out normally. Yeah. But, you know, it's just going to be an interesting rest of the year, because I do believe that they will probably announce what the system is at probably the end of the year. I mean, obviously not before July 1st or so, but in maybe like September, or maybe like a December direct or whatever.
Yeah, Tokyo Game Show September, so possibly there. So, or they could just do what they did last time and do it in January, put out a video in October, reveal everything in January, put it out in March. So
that's what they do. They do things by the beat of their own drum, and they purposely go and they listen to what a bunch of people, or watch the trends of a whole bunch of things online that people are saying and doing, and they just do the exact opposite because they do not want people to guess what they're going to do next.
Yeah. Sometimes they'll do it in spite of themselves. They'll just like, we're not going to do that because people think we're going to do that. So, but let's move on here and stick with Nintendo. Nintendo, we talked about this last week. Got leaked out from ratings. Nintendo World Championship NES Edition. They just announced it in a tweet. This is coming out on July 18th. This features more than 150 challenges to complete, and you can compete for top spots on global online leaderboards or with friends. Each week, you can compete for a top spot in the World Championship right. weekly global online leaderboards, or you can compete up against seven friends in local a-player party mode. Fucking assholes. Why do you charge for internet online if you don't use it? You don't fucking use it. Why am I paying for it? Anyways.
That's a big old core example, dude, to where that could have been easily have implemented online, you know?
That was the coolest looking thing to me. It's like, oh man, like if I can like play online with Gables, and like we can like I can like we can side by side and I can watch what the fuck you do. It's basically NES. It's the thing we thought it was. It's NES Remix, but it's called Nintendo World Championship NES Edition. It will be $30 on eShop, $60 for a collector edition. I did go ahead and I pre-ordered one for Justin, my best friend, but he actually got one, so I'm gonna delete that one. But I got another one for myself. I'm just gonna buy it. But fuck it. I definitely don't need it. But it's one of the things. If I don't buy it, I'm just gonna be mad at myself for not owning it. So the deluxe set comes with some art cards. Really, the thing that anybody ever wants though is the golden NES cartridge. It does not work. They make sure to in bold words on the bottom of the screen. Does not work. I just want the cartridge though. But I don't know, like. What are you thinking, Gables? What are you on this one?
I like this a lot. And that's because it is NES Remix, quintessentially. It's just Nintendo doing what they used to do in terms of when they put the World Championship stuff to begin with. And there's a bunch of cuts of some of their most famous NES games or some of their most like noteworthy NES games to just do a whole bunch of speedrun challenges. And that's exactly the type of thing that I would be very much into. And I have to admit, man, I really do like that. You know, it's like, I love the little advertisement stuff. They're showcasing all the people. Well, some of the people, the most notable ones from those World Championship stuff, including the way back in 1990. That was a cool touch.
Yeah, I did like the trailer for what it was and bring back a bunch of old competitors. Yeah, like, I really like NES Remix 1 and 2. And I talk about for long, like, I think a lot of people have been talking about for a long time. I was like, why did they just port this over? They ported literally everything else over. We got fucking Miitopia on this fucking Switch. Where are these at? This is based on why. Like, I'm more excited, I guess, for the idea of like this will become a thing. Like, we'll get an SNES version, maybe a 64 version. That's the thing I'm more excited for, I guess, than anything else. I'm like I said, I already bought the like, I was gonna buy this for $30. I'll just like I said, I'm buying the. I might not buy the $60 thing. We'll see how I'm feeling when we get closer, but I don't know, like, I really like the NES Remix 1 and 2, but it's definitely one of those things where it's like, it's the thing that sucks sometimes when you're online on the Switch, where you kind of just feel alone sometimes, that thing where it's like, you know, when you're on PlayStation, like, they kind of make it more social, and like, they obviously with, like, you can see what your friends are playing and stuff like that, and like that, like, you really can't so much. It's like, I was kind of like, excited for the idea of, like, it just kind of sucks overall, because, like, you know, like, maybe if, like, this was, like, early on in the Switch days, when a lot more people were playing it regularly. Like, at least on my friends list, like, I have people that play it, but like, I don't know how many friends are gonna be buying this thing, at this point on the Switch. Like, it'd definitely be really exciting, like, to see like all my friends are buying this and playing. Almost like back in the day, like Geometry Wars, where you could see your friends like high scores in the top right, or like Trials HD or whatever. And you can see your friends score as you're trying to complete this challenge and like going past them. Like, I'm excited for it. Like, but it's one of those things where I've talked about for a long time with the Switch, where like they put all these games out that are like technically good games. Like, oh, there's like a really good 7.5 game. But then you play it for like a weekend, and then you just don't you don't go back to it again, and maybe you play it one or two more times with that, and you're kind of done with it. And I have a feeling that's what it's going to end up being for me, and probably a lot of people. But especially with the not having online multiplayer, I think that will probably what will end up being for me, and I think a lot of people. Like, it's gonna be fun. You're gonna see a lot of content creators out there playing this game. It's gonna be really exciting, and like maybe you and I will play it for that first weekend, like maybe for a week or so. We'll try to top each other's scores. And then we'll fall off. That's kind of where I'm at with it. But I'm excited for. I'm excited to check it out. And like, I want to be wrong. I'm more like, I like I said, I wasn't. I'm not, I never was like a big NES guy. I was more of like, I had a Super Nintendo when I was a kid. I didn't have an NES, so I'd be more excited for like what a Super Nintendo thing would do than an NES version. So, but yeah, let's. That's it though for news this week. Let's move on to what we've been playing. Gables, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first, buddy?
I think you should go first.
All right. I've been playing a couple games. I talked about last week. Stellar Blade, I did finish. I mentioned, like, I was already into, like, Point of No Return. I had already gone into that. One of the longest Point of No Returns I've ever played in a fucking video game. Typically, when you go into, like, the Point of No Return, it's, like, you got a couple hours, maybe three at most. I spent, like, almost the entire fucking day playing Stellar Blade because I thought I was, like, so close to the ending. Like, I think I played, like, 6 to 8 hours after the Point of No Return. It was a whole other game in the Point of No Return. It was wild. Now, I will admit, like, 3 of those hours was fighting the final few bosses of that game because it gets fucking nuts at the end. Like, that game, it can get challenging at points, but, like, you always feel like you're getting better, you're progressing, and, like, oh, I'm doing all right here. I'm like, oh, like, ooh, I almost had it. I know what I needed. I knew what I did wrong. Just need to stop doing that thing. And then, like, you eventually beat the boss or whatever. Man, these bosses, and, like, there's, like, 3 final bosses, like, at the end, there's 3 bosses, like, you fight back to back to back, and, like, there's some, obviously, a lot of cutscenes, story stuff in between there.
Yeah.
And, man, like, it turns to, like, all of a sudden, like, I was talking about, like, last week, like, I've gotten better at pairing. Like, I feel pretty, like, not great at it, but I'm getting good at it. I'm doing okay. You have to be a fucking parry master. And these last 3 fucking fights, it is so fucking fast. They don't, like, you want to be like, you hit the button to, like, heal. Like, there's always, like, you need, like, it feels like an hour. It's like a couple tenths of a second to heal. And if you get hit, obviously it'll break it. So, like, so many times I died because I was trying to heal real fast and I got hit. But, like, they are relentless. Where, like, usually, like, you get that chance to breathe, to heal. You don't get that here. Like, it's like, they just fucking dash across the goddamn screen and hit you. And, like, I was getting better. The first and third of those boss fights do the bullshit thing that I hate. I fucking, like, it was like, I hated it. Every single final boss in every JRPG forever, they always, like, there's always, like, that move that would, like, knock you out even if you were full health, automatic kill. And there, but the first and third, the last boss fight and then the first one of the 3 of those boss fights, they have a move they do twice in the fight where they do a move that will automatically kill you. And, like, there's something you can do to, like, stop it, but, like, basically it requires you to, like, you have, like, a little robot that follows you around and he has, like, bullets and you have to shoot a bunch of things to stop this move from happening. And, like, I was, like, it was one of them where, like, I ran out of bullets. I didn't realize I needed it. So I ran out of bullets early in the fight. And I died, and I'm like, fuck. So then, like, I did the first one. I got through all that. Didn't realize the second one. A second time they do this move. So I didn't have enough bullets to do this. And that's the only way to stop it, because they're up in the... Anyways, the whole thing. So that was frustrating, of, like, getting through that. It's a pet peeve of mine. Games don't fucking do that. It's bullshit. I don't like it. Nobody like... Who likes those things? It's fucking dumb. Anyways. But, man, it was so hard. But let me tell you, Gibbles, I have never felt so fucking good finishing... fucking those 2 boss fights I did. The second one, the middle one, was just straight up fucking hard as hell. Didn't have the automatic death moves though, thank God. But was probably definitely the hardest of the 3. Just as a 1-on-1 fight. But my God, I never felt like a fucking man more than I did when I beat these fucking bosses. But, like, I love this game. I thought it was a great game. Definitely highly recommend. Jiggly boobs aside, this is a really great game. It really is. So, like, if you have a PS5 out there, to me, like, if you're, like, a fan of any Platinum games or, like, Souls-like games, like, this is a game for you. Like, to hold you over. This is not, like, I'm not trying to say it's game of the year contender or anything like that. Like, I think it's definitely on my top 10 list. Will definitely be on my top 10 list at the end of the year. Probably top 5, but, like, I'm not gonna say, like, it's gonna, like, be anybody's game of the year, but. Man, it's phenomenal. The other game I did play, I actually finished as well. I beat today, Little Kitty Big City. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. It's on Game Pass if you want to play it on there.
Excellent.
I think it's on every console as well. It's on Switch, PlayStation, PC, all that. But if you have Game Pass on PC or Xbox, it's there. So I played it on there. Took maybe about 2.5-3 hours to beat. It's basically, so I was, like, comparing it, like an Untitled Goose Game type thing, and it is that, but it's more of a collectathon than it is, like, a platform collectathon. Oh. Like, there's definitely some, like, the platforming is not great. It's fine. There's like definitely some frustration points where like you jump and it doesn't exactly, like, even though you did the jump correctly, it doesn't like, you jump to like a ledge and normally like you get on the side of the ledge, it'll pull itself up. Sometimes it just doesn't do that, or sometimes it just doesn't work right. That can be a little frustrating at points. But I mean, it's a cute little cat game where you go around, you're sleeping on a windowsill, he fell down, and you're trying to get back up to your home. And that's kind of the goal of it. And you could probably beat this game in like an hour if you just want to mainline all that. Basically, you just got to like find fish to like upgrade your almost like your stamina, like in Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. Adds like a stealth bar like that, like you can like for climbing. But there's like, it's more of like go around the city. There's all these animals you could talk to that give you goals that you can do. Like, hey, like this, you'll find a crow and he's like, hey, find these like shiny like bottle caps, stuff like that. Give it to him. He'll unlock hats for your cat to wear. There's one where you can find like a beetle, and he basically runs like the content, like the social accounts for like a famous cat, and he drops his into some wet concrete. So you have to go like steal. You have to like knock a person over, steal their phone, and give it to him. A bunch of dumb stuff like, or like there's like a cat where like there's like, or there's like one part where like there's like a, you gotta catch like. There's a tanuki that is an inventor that creates teleporters for you to like go, it can get around the map faster. And he like, you have to give him flowers or feathers to unlock those points, and you can like catch birds. You don't kill the birds, you just take the feathers from them. But it's just a lot of that. It's like a lot of going around, like you find like, are like tripping humans, stuff like that, stealing, so you can steal stuff from them, they chase you around and you can run off. There's one point where like you're almost like Godzilla, there's like a little model city and you can walk through the city and knock all the shit over, which is really fun. But yeah, it's a lot of room around. It's a very small town. Like I said, it took me about, I think I played it for a little under 3 hours, and I finished the game up, but there's still a good chunk of stuff I like to do. And like after you beat the game, it lets you go back to the city and you can continue on from there. But yeah, I came away really, really happy with that. I like it quite a bit. Like I said, it's on Game Pass. This is like talk about perfect Game Pass game. This is perfect for the perfect Game Pass game. If you have that, check it out on there. But if you just want like a game, like, I don't know, a game, like turn your brain off, just feel like you put you in a good mood. The music is jolly and nice. The cat does big stretch stuff. Like, definitely it's an adorable little game. So I, highly recommend for me. We'll see. It's not like I said, not gonna be game of the year or anything like that, but like fun little game. You want to play like a sitting or two. It is the perfect game for that. But that's all I've been playing. Gables, what about you?
Okay, so this has been more like about... this has been more like a week where I just wanted to try to play some familiar games and stuff and just see what I'm going at, you know? So when it comes to fighting games, right, you know, Maximilian Dude, the guy that I usually watch from time to time, he does these legacy of, like certain fighting game characters and stuff. For this time, he's done like this series in regards to like Akuma from Street Fighter 2 and stuff like that. Let's see. So he was going through a bunch of the Street Fighter Alpha games. I had a chance to watch certain aspects of this stuff, and it's got me kind of like just cravings to play some of these Street Fighter Alpha games again. So I took out my PS4 copy of like that Street Fighter like 30th Anniversary Edition stuff, and I know that port of these games are not exactly the best. But at the same time, I am like, I wanted to play some bit of Street Fighter Alpha, Alpha 2, Alpha 3 and stuff. And man, it's like just playing bits of these games again and stuff. It was really fun. It was really interesting seeing like how much I remember and also what type of little tasks and what type of techniques I can do. Like if you can time certain hits of like certain moves and stuff, you can do something that's called like an alpha counter and stuff, to where you can counter somebody and then not just counter somebody, but you can actually just go and flip them over and stuff, and like they just do these little freaking rolls and shit. It's just really funny just to do that. But yeah, I ended up playing through all three of the arcade mode stuff for Street Fighter Alpha, like 1, 2, and 3, as Ryu, because Ryu is one of my favorite characters I love to play as and stuff. But yeah, it was just fun going through those campaigns and just going through just having some fun with it. But the other game that's familiar that I had been playing this week is more of like Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy the Duelist. I've just been really getting into the whole like Yu-Gi-Oh! Like 5Ds, like campaign and stuff, to where you're doing a whole bunch of things that are called like synchro summoning, which It just combines like certain monster cards and just is another way to summon monsters on the field. Like for example, if you have a like certain monster card that's called like inside of its little text box, you'll see if it's whether it's like a tuner monster or something where it's like you have that in collaboration with like a certain monster or like a certain amount of like monsters which star levels equal the monster you want to summon. Basically, you can go forth and like just do this something called synchro summon to where you combine these two monsters. Like one, it had there has to be one monster that's considered a tuner monster, right? So it's like you combine that to like special summon like a particular monster. And so I've been using this deck that is a mix of like a couple different types of like certain monsters based upon the protagonist of Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds. So the whole premise of this deck is to have like certain car theme, like certain monsters. So for example, it's machines, and then there's like all sorts of various like other type of monsters added into this deck. But the whole premise is to just get a whole bunch of synchro monsters on the field and just blitz your opponent crazily. So it starts off to where if you draw a card like junk, like was a junkyard synchron or something like that, and you summon them on the field. Well, now you can retrieve something out of the graveyard and stuff to where you get special summon on the field, and then doing those exact little type of summons and stuff. You can actually go through and do a synchro summon to like junkyard synchron to where that can do that or this and that. You know, it's just been one of those fun things where I'm learning a different deck type and also just figuring out what I want to do just for deck type stuff. But it's just basically me burning through a whole bunch of like different familiar games just to get myself back into the groove of things because you know how much sometimes working full time gets me so exhausted. Like literally, I will only have maybe enough energy just to play maybe a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh!, maybe a little bit of Street Fighter or something like that, like I had been doing this past week. But another thing I had been doing is I've been going on to the Switch's eShop and I've been looking at a bunch of my read and like my games that I've downloaded like throughout the lifespan of the Switch, and I've downloaded like a whole like back a whole bunch of them. Only like maybe for example maybe all except for like a couple of different ones, but I gotta tell you, dude, from the span of like 2017 onwards to like current year 2024, I kid you not, I have maybe like close to 100 in terms of games that I've downloaded on that damn system. And well, I'm going through the process of playing a couple of different ones and seeing which ones do I really want to keep on my Switch, and then which ones I just want to say, you know what? I'm not going to play this game ever again. So it's just me testing a whole bunch of stuff, right? So I ended up testing a couple of games like just last night, you know, to where there's this one game called Soldom, right? Where it's like a puzzle-based game. It was like released in 2017, and it's just basically sort of like a match three, match four game. The game in and of itself, I bought on a sale at the time and stuff, but I've only played it maybe not even an hour. And I can understand why. It's because even though this puzzle game is all right and looks kind of cutesy and it's like the I can understand what's going on with this game, it's kind of boring. So it's like I played less than an hour than that, and then I just kind of focused on the next game, which was I want to say me trying to power up Rocket League, right, on the Switch. But I didn't get a chance really to play Rocket League because it had me try to create a freaking Epic Games like an Epic account. I'm like, no. This used to be to where I could just download Rocket League and just go into a game without having to agree with another fucking account or
Well,
all this other shit.
it has the cross progression, so if
Yeah.
whatever you bought on PS5 or PC or whatever will be on there, so.
But yeah, you know, it's just that. Let's see. Other than that, though, I was just playing like some little bits of like games here and there on the Switch. But yeah, I just want it to be to where I have only the games I want to play on the Switch digitally and stuff around my system, and then not having to worry about all the other ones.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha.
But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing for this week.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Think it's gonna wrap it up for us. We'll be back next week with hopefully some good news, Gables. Hopefully some fucking good
Yes.
news. At the very least, there's been a bunch of really great indie games that have come out this past week. So
Oh yeah.
if you're a gamer out there looking for games to play, there's been a ton out there to play. I'm playing a little bit. I'm playing like I just started playing Tales of K'Zera's out today. I'm excited to talk about that one
Yeah.
next week. I bought a couple other games on Steam that I'm excited to play indie game wise. And we'll talk about it more next week. But yeah, thank you guys so much for watching, listening, wherever you're at. Please, like I said, talk. We're on any podcast service, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds. You find us on there. YouTube on there. Like, follow, subscribe. Check us out. Really, really appreciate if you did that for us. 5 stars. Leave a review. Thumbs up. Share with your friends. Twitter, Facebook. Check us out. All those places. I was your host. I was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, play some fun games. But thank you for another fun, filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Too sweet?
Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.